Maybe you saw this yesterday. There is a break in the action. It might be a timeout. It might be halftime. The coach gathers the team around him. A new strategy is needed. Some things need to be stopped. Other things need to be started or more heavily emphasized. Oftentimes, the team that who does the better job of making adjustments to a new strategy ends up winning the game. Think of your life in terms of a contest, an athletic contest. Is a new strategy needed? Is a new way of looking at things needed? Is a new way of approaching situations and all that happens in our lives, is something new needed? Two Sundays back, we looked at Isaiah 55, where it talks about that the Lord is above us, that His ways and His thoughts are not like ours, that His word will not return to Him void. And I asked if we're going to be a people of the book. Last week, we talked about Bible study and the importance of it. This morning, I want us to think about righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. We're going to look in Romans chapter 6, and in that chapter, Paul shifts gears a bit and begins to show how the Christian life is a victorious struggle with sin. Blake hit it right. Things happen. Sometimes the Lord allows things to happen in our lives to get our attention. But we are to be dead to sin and alive to God. But there is that struggle. We are to grow in the knowledge of God and His Word towards righteousness, Christ-likeness. And you may need a new strategy. Romans chapter 6, as we open God's Word. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, and we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God, that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regards to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's your strategy for life? How's it working for you? Maybe you need a new strategy. The first part of a new strategy is to recognize how the follower of Jesus has died to sin. Your entire perspective on sin needs to change. Paul made a statement in chapter 5, verse 20 that has or at least could be taken out of context, so he clarifies. For when you were slaves of sin, the law came in so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. And people want to say, grace is good. The more grace, the better. So I need a sin so that grace can abound. And he says, may it never be. No, absolutely not. Never. May it never be. Paul would also argue that because something is not that bad or everyone is doing it does not hold water either. Using language we use around a baptism, he points out the complete identification a follower of Jesus is to make. We have died with Christ. We have been buried with him in baptism. And the word baptize is a what's this stuff we got on? Cloth term. That's not the right word. Alzheimer's hits at the wrong time. Textile. It's a textile term. Now, I don't know what color this shirt was when it was first made, but I don't think it was this color. But if you tear this shirt apart thread by thread, every bit of it will be completely identified with this color. It was baptized. It was colored. And that's the idea that Paul is using here, that we have completely identified with Jesus. And anything less when you're in being baptized, anything less, you're just getting wet. He says we are to completely identify with Jesus. So that if you are united with him in his death, you will be then united with him in his resurrection, in his life. In verse 4, Paul said that Christ died and was raised from the dead so that you might have newness of life. That is a qualitatively different life. It's not that you're going to get a new body. The knees are still going to ache. This and that still hurts or whatever. But qualitatively, you're going to be completely different. Completely different. I want you to take out your order of service, and on the back there's a blank page. I want you to write down three words. The first word that I want you to write down is regenerated. We live a regenerated life. Regenerated. Wayne Grudem, in his Systematic Theology, defines regeneration this way. Regeneration is a secret act of God in which he imparts new spiritual life to us. Christ Jesus did the work. Christ Jesus did the dying. He died to pay the penalty for your sin once for all. Maybe the three best words in the English language. Once for all. For all people, for all time. So that if you are united with him in death, consider yourself dead to sin. You're beyond the power of sin. You have died with Christ. You will live with Christ. Maybe you've had a similar experience. It was not particularly the worst experience of my life, but it wasn't particularly the best experience of my life. In the midst of oral surgery, I woke up. I could still feel the doctor and her assistant over me and around me. I could see them. I could feel them pulling on things, but I didn't feel the pain because my mouth was dead. Are you dead to sin? We still live in amongst us. We still live amongst it, but do you feel it? Are you dead to sin? Are you dead to the pain it can cause, the damage it can do? Or are you still living in it? Have you completely, in every way or every aspect of your life, identified fully with Christ? Have you experienced this regeneration I mentioned? This newness of life? Do you see a difference between your life BC, before Christ, and now, after your life now following Christ? So think about your attitudes, your behaviors, your choices. Are they different? Are they different? Are you living in the freedom Christ offers? In that new life that Paul talks about? Think back over the value statements you made this week. How you allocated your time, your energy, your resources. Did they show a deadness to sin and the fact that you're alive to Christ? Are you living a new strategy? The second part of a new strategy is, if a follower of Jesus has died to sin, become what you are. You are a new person in Christ. You have been regenerated. Regenerated. Grace has changed you. Grace has justified you. Grace has moved you out from under the law. Second word, justification or justified. And this definition is again from Wayne Grudem. Justification is an instantaneous legal act of God in which He, one, thinks of our sins as forgiven and Christ's righteousness as belonging to us, and two, declares us to be righteous in His sight. We have been declared not guilty. Now, I don't know about you, but I have never been accused of anything really, really serious. You know, a couple eggings of a house and speeding ticket and, you know, stuff like that. But I've never faced it where the judge said, not guilty. Except when I, as an 8-year-old child, not understanding the Christian life completely, just knowing that I needed Jesus into my heart and life, said, yes, Lord, come in. I'm yours. I was declared not guilty. Not guilty. Paul talks about that we are no longer a slave to sin. There are three words for sin used in this passage. One is missing the mark, resulting in guilt, which is the nature of man towards God. A second word is an act of disobedience to revealed command of God. And the third is not to be ruled over it. Missing the mark, an act of disobedience, an act of sin purposely stepping over the line. You've watched children, haven't you? Those of you who are old enough to watch children. Sometimes a kid just doesn't know what he's supposed to do, and he just does something and he doesn't know. Sometimes you say, don't do this, and they try not to, but they inadvertently do. And then sometimes they get that look on the face that says, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And that's what Paul is describing here. Do not let sin reign in your life. Do not let sin control you. If sin says jump, don't ask how high. Paul begins to chip away at the excuse of I couldn't help it. What you can help is whether or not you put yourself in a place or a situation to sin. Don't keep presenting yourself to sin. Don't keep presenting yourself to the situation, particularly physically, where we tend to sin. View each issue from the perspective of Christ's death and resurrection. Each moral choice can and should be a moral commitment to Christ. You are no longer under the sin, you are under grace. While I worked in the greenhouse one year, we had a bit of a problem. Our supplier got begonia seeds mixed up. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a begonia seed, but it's tiny, 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 tiny. We grew three colors in a mixed pack of begonias. The problem was is they were all mixed packs that year. Now that didn't mean a whole lot to the person who was going to go plant them at home. But the corporate accounts that we sold to wanted the certain color, and if it wasn't going to be right, we were in trouble. But they became what they were. Just because we wanted them to be red and they were white didn't mean that they were going to be red, because they were going to become what they were. You're going to become what you are. What are you becoming? Have you been justified by grace, by Jesus, by His grace? Are you still allowing sin to reign in your life, in your body? Can you identify situations where sin likely will reign? And if so, are you keeping yourself out of situations? Who are you accountable to? What might change about your life, your behavior, your choices, if the shadow of the cross fell across your path as you're about to go your way? Well, it does. Are you living a new strategy? The third part of a new strategy, after realizing you have died to sin and you are becoming what you are, is to live to God, live to Christ. Be a slave to righteousness. Paul asks a second rhetorical question in verse 15. Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? And again, no, may it never be, may it never be, may it never be. You're not to sin because you're under grace and not the law. Grace does not free you to do whatever you want, whatever your flesh desires or what the world says. We are to live in such a way to reflect the nature of Jesus Christ. And he says, begin by presenting your body, your life, in obedience to Christ. Become obedient from the heart. I think sometimes we get caught up with acting right on Sunday morning and acting however we want the other 167 hours of the week. And Paul says, no. We are to live in such a way that we reflect the nature and character of Christ. Obedience needs to well up within us from that which is deepest within us, your deepest desires, your deepest values. Obedience then needs to be to Christ, not to me, not to the church, but to God's word, to Christ. Here's the third word, sanctification, sanctified. Again from Grudem. Sanctification is a progressive work of God in man that makes us more and more free from sin and like Christ in our actual lives. The outcome will be eternal life. And Paul says the wages of sin, every time, not most of the time, not some of the time, every time, the wages of sin is death. So instead of dying, live for Christ. Live towards Christ. What are you living toward? God gave plants the ability to go after what they need. Trees grow into drain lines. Plants get taller if there's a lack of sunshine. The first summer we were here, there was an article in the Franklin Press about a couple that had 9 or 10 foot tall tomato plants. And they talk about those 9 or 10 foot tall tomato plants as if that was a great showing of how to grow tomatoes. What that article was really saying was that the plants were not getting enough light. Plants have that ability. They live toward what they need. What are you living toward? Are you living toward Christ? What are you becoming? It's about your heart, your mind, your will. And it is continuous throughout life. There is no retirement age. You get that? There is no retirement age to growing towards Christ. You have to cooperate, though. And even, I dare say it, you have to work at sanctification. You have to read God's Word. You have to study God's Word. You have to pray. You have to do a little bit of work. Well, I thought this was all about Christ. It is, but sanctification is us changing our minds by God's Word. And it takes a little bit of work. So are you living towards Christ? Are you obedient to Him? What is your strategy for life, particularly for life as a follower of Jesus? You going to float along, go with the flow? Somehow or another, I recently came across this copy of systematic theology book that I've quoted. That rascal is a good 2.5 inches thick. It's about 1,200 pages. For about 2 weeks, I just looked at the thing. Now, what am I going to do with you? Doorstop? Yeah, that'll be a good doorstop. Paperweight? A great paperweight. Well, it may be those things too, but I began reading the thing. Because you know what? Even after 30 years of being in ministry, even after 2,500 or so messages I've prepared, studied and prepared, there's a lot I need to learn. Now, no amens on that, please. But I began reading the book because he explains God's Word. And I need to know more about Christ. And so do you. What are you doing to grow in Christ? To grow in His righteousness? Are you a follower of Jesus who has died to sin? Have you been regenerated? Have you been justified? Are you becoming what you are, a justified person, no longer under sin but under grace? Are you living for Christ? Are you being sanctified? I was very young in the ministry. Church I was pastoring, lady came and her daughter came forward. She came, I think, from a different background in terms of church. And I said, I'm going to ask everyone who asked to come to join this church, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Tell me about your salvation experience. And I asked something of that question to her. I've been justified, I've been sanctified. And she rattled off 3 or 4 terms. I know now, no, you have not been sanctified. You may be being sanctified, but you have not. Because as long as God gives us a breath, we need to grow to be like Christ. Do you need a new strategy in your life?